Why do aliens abduct cows so often? What are they doing with them? Is Bigfoot just blurry? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of
This Paranormal Life!
Hello and welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the weekly comedy podcast where every Tuesday you're joined by me, Kit Greer Mulvenna, this guy Rory Powers,
boom,
two of the best paranormal investigators in the world, and we're going to dive into a different case each week, deciding by the end of the episode whether we think, in our professional estimation, whether we think it's really paranormal or not. How are you doing today, Rory?
We're so good at paranormal investigating. Many people think that we ourselves are dead, the way we can communicate with these ghosts.
Yeah.
We're on their level. We're on their frequency. Also, not a lot of sun in Northern Ireland, so we're a little pale. Life's been hard in the commune recently. Not a ton of food going around. A little bit of malnourished, you know? Sure. Boom. I think actually Kit might be dead. I'm not sure. I think I'm alive. One of us might be a ghost.
We went to an exorcism last week and you said, let's get started. And then your eyes rolled into the back of your head and you were,
summoning myself.
They were like, oh my God, he's gone into a trance. I was like, he just hasn't had any sugar this morning. Rory, I've got your iced latte here. Rory, we are not here to talk about any of that nonsense. We have a massive paranormal case to dive into today. Well, physically massive, at least.
Okay.
Rory, the Bermuda Triangle. Mm-hmm. Roswell, New Mexico.
Yep.
Music festival Portaloos. Mm-hmm. There are places on this earth that just overflow with dark paranormal energy. At first, today's location might not strike you as one, but trust me, once we look at the phenomena coming out of this area, we'll have to add it to the list of paranormal hotspots.
Wow, okay.
Let me set the scene, and maybe you can guess where we are. Right after a quick reminder that patreon.com/thisparanormallife is the home of this show, so if you want to support this show, if you enjoyed today's episode and you want to support it, head over there and you can get hundreds and hundreds of extra episodes that are exclusive to Patreon. Links in the description of this. And if you want to come see us live this year, 2025, we're embarking on a massive, like this episode, live tour of America, Canada, and soon to announce, hopefully, UK and Ireland. Tickets for all of our live shows this year are at thisparanormallife.com.
Grab them now.
We're in the 1950s, and two travelers, John and Gilbert, are sitting on logs by the campfire.
I don't know why I wasn't expecting that second name.
It really hits you, the hard G,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not Gilbert like he's French, it's Gilbert. They're surrounded by mountains and tall oak trees. Gilbert pulls out a banjo.
Well, feller, ain't it purty to be out here in the Smokies just laying up under them stars? Yep. Life's finer than a frog hair split four ways. It's just me, you, and my old buddy Jip there. You settle down now, Jip.
The three have just finished off grits, deer jerky, shucky beans, collard greens, and cornbread with a side of moon shine.
Okay, where are these? Where are we?
But suddenly,
where did you say we are right now?
You gotta guess.
Because this feels offensive to my Southern American roots, all right? Is this what my family sound like to you?
You don't know yet. You don't know.
All right.
But suddenly,
thin ice, motherfucker, is all I'm going to say.
Suddenly.
I don't say top of the morning to you.
You say it every week. You say it every week.
That's how I start all of our work calls.
You say it every damn week. But suddenly, the calm is broken by a cracking in the undergrowth. Gilbert drops his banjo and grabs a hunting rifle.
I thought it was Gilbert.
It's Gilbert.
Well, butter my biscuit. What the hell is that?
They can clearly see the undergrowth shaking and rustling with something moving and stalking them. Gilbert takes aim.
What is it, Jip? Sick 'em, boy. Jip, no!
Gilbert lets off a volley of shots into the bush and then quiet. Jip hasn't come back, and Gilbert can swear he sees two round silver eyes in the dark looking back at him.
Uh-oh.
He takes off down the trail. What was it, Rory? A bear? A mountain lion? Or maybe it's just one of about a dozen cryptids and paranormal entities said to inhabit Appalachia.
Whoa. Where is this?
God damn it.
I don't know.
Turn off the banjos. You don't know where Appalachia is? I thought you said this is your home people.
Well, I don't know. Would you stop hitting your ring on the table?
Sorry, I got it.
It's so loud. Where?
Using special effects, we can... Don't Google it. This is embarrassing. I literally wrote down here. I said, I think our US listeners know exactly where this is. And our UK listeners probably thought Appalachia was a new groceries delivery app.
But it does sound like that.
But fair enough. While Rory was born in Georgia.
Yeah.
He has lived most of his life in Britain, in Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. So, I didn't get much time to explore the mountainous ranges.
If you had asked me to point out the Appalachian Mountains on a map, I would have had a little bit of trouble, I think. But now I know. Now I know exactly where they are. I had an idea.
Okay.
But yes, for anyone who doesn't know, this is the North American mountain region that touches the wildest corners of Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Maryland, Mississippi, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, to name but a few.
Wow.
Also, parts of Canada. This stretches...
Is it just the continent? What did we not name?
Well, I show you on a map. I think you'll get a good sense of it.
Okay, that sounds good.
So very East Coast, but you just forget how many of these states are kind of East.
Yeah. It kind of stretches along the East Coast. Yeah, from down to Georgia, all the way up.
Yeah. Basically, the bottom being essentially Georgia and the top, at least in the United States, being the top of Maine, through a bunch of states.
Okay, so I was right to be offended by the depiction of those two country gentlemen.
Oh, didn't say it was Georgia. Could have been Tennessee. I'm just saying that because Rory's from Georgia. I will say a note on the pronunciation because I'm going to get effing crucified in the comments. I understand that there's a couple of different pronunciations varying by region. I think a lot of people will call it Appalachia.
Mm.
A lot of people call it Appalachia. I believe the British pronunciation is actually Appalachia, which sounds kind of right to me.
Yeah, that does sound right.
The softer sh, but Americans don't seem to say that. So for the purposes of today, I'm going to be saying Appalachia, which apparently is the more common American one. If that's not you, that's okay. Because Rory, sometimes when we think of the landscape of America, sure, sometimes we picture a Midwestern Walmart car park. But there is a vast, untouched wilderness stretching all the way through the country, filled with terrifying shit.
Hell yeah. Hey, let me tell you, I went snowboarding up in Pigeon Forge in Tennessee a few years ago, and I saw some terrifying creatures up there, let me tell you.
Mostly at the motel bar at 1 a.m.
Mostly at the Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Rory was so drunk, he was at Bubba Gump Shrimp yelling for them to bring out the shrimp. I was like, you have a plate of shrimp in front of you. No, the big one.
You're telling me a shrimp fried this bubba?
And while, spoiler alert, there is a number of different paranormal phenomena associated with this area, this is mostly cryptid country.
Mm.
So let's talk about one. November 1966. Two young couples in a car sped down a road outside Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Whoa.
Trying to escape something. One of the couples, Mary Maylette and Roger Scarberry, looked out the back window and couldn't believe what they saw and what they heard. Darting in the sky was a muscular humanoid rising above the shadow of the old factory nearby, except it wasn't human. It had two enormous wings on its back, and the thing that haunted them most afterwards were its red eyes glowing in the sky.
Oh yeah, I know this motherfucker.
Although they didn't know it at the time, this was the first known sighting of...
The Mothman!
That's right.
Hell yeah, as soon as you said Point Pleasant, I knew we were in friendly territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the most famous cryptids in the world, a fan favorite. Not just because of his lovely little personality, but also there's a statue of him made of pure metal in Point Pleasant where he is caked up.
Yeah.
He's got his ass out. People put dollar bills between his butt cheeks to appease the Mothman.
You know what's funny? Because here in Ireland, where we're recording right now for a change of pace, one of the most famous landmarks in Dublin is the statue of Molly Malone. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a statue of a famous fishmonger in the streets of Dublin, Molly Malone. And I'll just cut to the chase. She is a rack.
Yeah.
The statue has a rack.
I do know this.
And it's become a really hot topic issue because the kind of weird tourist, no one really knows where it came from thing was that someone somewhere along the way, probably like a street tour guide or something, made up one day that it's good luck to rub her breasts of the statue.
Yeah, I think I find this incredibly offensive. I think I'm very disappointed by this.
Don't worry, you don't have to set the record straight on it. It has become very controversial, probably specifically this year. There's a BBC headline there, Molly Malone statue violated by groping. People are asking for the statue to be cordoned off or protected or something. People saying that it brings a weird vibe to the streets, which I think we can all agree with.
Yes.
I'm just saying, kind of glad to see that it's not just statues of women that are being violated. It's at least an equal opportunities of violating statues that people are putting dollar bills in the butt crack of a fictional humanoid.
Yeah, of a moth man. That being said, for the record, inevitably when they do build a giant metal statue of me, you are allowed to rub my cock.
Because Rory will have stipulated that the package be impressive.
That's actually written on the plaque at the bottom is go on. I know you want to.
But it's true, Rory, a beloved statue, a beloved cryptid. And this sighting was what started a whole sensation through the late 1960s. And more importantly, we covered it along with a bunch of other testimonies on This Paranormal Life back in 2017, only episode 18 of this show.
That's crazy.
So I figured, why not start here? Mothman is one of the most famous cryptids ever, and it turns out that he is slap bang in the middle of Appalachia. By the way, researcher Ewan wanted to point out that in our original episode, we actually missed an interesting piece of information, that when Mothman was sighted, the local sheriff didn't believe the witnesses, and he claimed that what they really saw was an unnaturally large bird that he called a shite poke.
Ah, wow. Is that a type of bird?
No.
Oh, he just made it up?
He thought it was a large heron, I believe, but he was like, they saw a shite poke. Everyone's like, what?
I don't like that name.
But what we discovered in that episode was that just a year after that initial sighting, when a bridge connecting Point Pleasant to Gallipoli, Ohio, collapsed, strange tales of the Mothman resurfaced. Many believed that earlier sightings of the Mothman had foreshadowed the disaster, and that others even said they saw him soaring around the disaster site itself. So he's become a kind of modern omen. He kind of signals that bad things are about to happen.
I think some people claim to see him at Chernobyl before the nuclear explosion. That's not a joke. I think it's people that they saw him in the sky. So he's not even linked to just one specific location. Even though this is where he lives or originated from, he's Mr. Worldwide.
Some people say they've seen him at the FA Cup final in England. Like he foreshadowed Arsenal losing. It's weird. He's into football like that. And to this day, the Mothman tradition holds strong, and the annual Mothman Festival, which we really still need to go to, remains an important part of Appalachian life. So we've always thought of Mothman as a quintessential West Virginia thing. But once we look at our next cryptids, I'm hoping to prove that Mothman's sighted in West Virginia because it's in Appalachia.
Mm.
Just as a bit of trivia, do you remember what we decided about Mothman at the end of that episode?
I think it was a no.
So I gave it a no.
Oh.
And Rory controversially gave it a maybe.
Oh shit, I didn't even know that was an option.
It's not really anymore. I think it was so early in the show's history.
I had a bus to catch and I actually didn't end the episode. I just left mid-recording. Wow.
I think researcher Ewan picked up that you did say you believed he existed somewhere at some point. Which is, you know,
that's kind of a yes.
I don't know who's right, but I think it's kind of cool that at least one of us believes in the damn thing.
Yeah. All right. I'll stand by that reasoning, I guess.
Because we're slightly revisiting it, of course, I wanted to check if there was new Mothman evidence since 2017. After all, it's been 8 years.
and many more disasters.
And there are tons of new sightings, dozens and dozens, but I will say only a little evidence. But there is one video from 2018 that I can show you of Mothman caught on security camera.
All right.
Rory, behold.
All right. Yeah, we got a security camera kind of facing out towards a car park with a streetlight in the sky, and it looks like Batman himself glides across the scene, kind of obscuring the light. You can see the kind of silhouette of his caped wings.
I'll see if I can pause it on the... I mean, that's a big thing.
Dude, I mean, yeah, it could be a bat. It's so dark. We're not seeing anything here.
I guess in fairness, kind of like the Father Ted episode of like, is it small or just far away?
Yeah.
It could be a bat. It could be close to the camera.
It could be a bumblebee close to that camera.
But if it's close to the light, it's Mothman. All right. Maybe you're getting the picture. There's not a ton of new physical evidence since 2017. But that's okay, because that's only one of dozens of creatures. I keep changing the number. I think in the beginning I was like, it's 10 creatures. Now it's dozens of creatures that stalk the Appalachian Mountains. The next terrifying creature we can talk about is the Wampus Cat.
Okay, this is worrying, because I assume it's in order of believability.
Not necessarily.
So to go from Mothman, a case you already gave a no, to the Wampus Cat?
Not necessarily. Okay. I'm trying to... Like a great mixtape or an album. I'm trying to take us on an emotional roller coaster.
And this is one of the bad songs.
This is a ballad. Little boring. My first line here is, this is not the final boss of Appalachia. More like the second or third level boss in a video game. But this is also a huge man-eating cat, often said to have supernatural abilities. First recorded by the indigenous Cherokee people, descriptions of the Wampus Cat, or Cherokee Death Cat.
Oh, for sure lead with that.
Yeah, Wampus Cat makes it sound like it talks like a doofus in a movie. Hey guys, I'm the Wampus Cat.
It really does.
In most cases, it's very large, with dark fur and a raspy, high-pitched call. The Wampus is usually described as bipedal, walking upright, but has often also been described as having as many as 6 legs.
Whoa, entering wind tosser territory.
It actually gave me pause for thought earlier. I was like, oh shit, is this the... No, that's different. But wind tosser, am I wrong? It's actually... Wind tosser's not too far away from this, right? Where was it?
Don't remember. I think it was more other side of the coast, west coast. It's part of the...
Oh, it was the northwest.
Yes, the north. It's the fearsome critters. The fearsome critters of the northwest, I believe.
You're right.
Which is...
It was California, yeah.
Yeah, we're dealing with basically the equivalent on the other side of America.
So true. Yeah, the wooded areas of Northern California. That's right.
Yeah.
I just remember there was a wood connection because it was made of wood.
It wasn't made of wood, but it did look like a log and was seen by lumberjacks. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get to talk shit to me today. Now that I remember that.
I love the wind tosser.
That was a whole episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean?
Moving on. The Wampus Cat only comes out at moonlight and is said to be more ferocious than a lion. Rory, let's get a visual of this thing.
Okay.
This isn't even a drawing or a photo. This is a statue.
Whoa! Yeah, this is a statue of a Wampus Cat. It does kind of look like a big cat, just with more legs.
You kind of don't even see the legs to begin with, and you're like, oh, there's 6.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy. It just has like legs up by its head that it could use as almost like hands. Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like the thought of a bipedal cat.
I like that this seems to be at like a university or something.
Yeah.
It's a big brass statue outside a college or something. In case you couldn't miss it, giant text that says Wampus Cats.
But maybe then, that's their like school mascot.
Could be.
Like and the Wildcats.
And then on the side of the statue, there's a plaque that says Wampus Cat. Mythical cat-like creature with 6 legs. 4 for running at the speed of light. 2 for fighting with all its might. Okay, so as I say, statue, not exactly a photo, but I did find potential evidence of this thing. I found that in Georgia, in the southern reaches of the Appalachian Mountains, there's a restaurant which has mounted a Wampus Cat's head on the wall like it's a deer.
Damn! Have you got a photo?
Yes.
Oh! Oh no! What the f*** is this?
What is that?
Arrest these people! Close the business! This is a crime!
I don't want to see that when I'm eating.
Yeah!
The special today, Wampus Cat Stew.
This is like something from the island of Dr. Moreau, the mad scientist.
It does look worryingly human, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't like this. I don't like it. Make it go away.
But of course, the brave and drunk people of the Appalachian Mountains weren't gonna tolerate a man-eating cat living nearby. And on Thanksgiving 1918, near Knoxville, Tennessee, an armed mob went searching for a Wampus Cat that had been terrorizing the area.
Ooh, we got a little dad squad on our hands, people.
And like most dad squads, they didn't manage to capture the beast, but they did see a, quote, huge cat-like animal, grey with white spots, that was able to jump 12 feet or more. They wrote that the Wampus was, quote, just the devil in the shape of a tiger who had come here to scare the wicked folks into doing right. Researcher Ewan points out that's not how the devil works. He's not there to scare people into being good. So I don't really know if that's true.
I think that's actually kind of what God does.
Yeah.
He like scares people into doing good by telling them what happens if you do bad.
Yeah.
The devil wants you to do bad.
Yes.
He's
that's the whole
actually
thing.
Kind of into
He's
it.
He's like, eat the apple.
Yeah. His bad is good.
Okay. So Roy, we're a couple beasts in right now. Mothman was, at least 8 years ago, was a maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know with inflation, with Bidenflation, where we are with that one.
I think the case is weakened, if anything.
Great. And the Wampus Cat?
Yeah, it's a no.
Okay, I didn't need a yes or a no. I was just getting a temperature check. We can delete that.
I just assumed we were at the end. I thought it was conclusions.
That's cool.
Because I know you said there's a dozen, but it sounds like you've got two today.
I've got like three.
Okay.
No, I've got more than three. I do have more than three.
How about the Wiggle Wobble of East Texas?
The Wiggle Wobble. The Moonshine Cat. It's just a cat that drunk some moonshine. Killed a guy. Look, the next one, I'm going to pull out the big guns here. This is another one we might have heard of before. Mm-hmm. Maybe expected, maybe unexpected for this region. Now, we have covered Bigfoot and Bigfoot-related tales for many years. And look, while the Pacific Northwest is the region most commonly thought of as Sasquatch Central, Appalachia also has a rich history of Bigfoot sightings. Now, this creature is said to be a cousin of the Pacific Northwest Sasquatch, and is sometimes called the Tennessee Wild Man.
Wow, I did not know that.
Which really says a lot. Like, a cryptid called the Tennessee Wild Man is like having an Irish cryptid called the Dublin Drunkard. It's like, they're all drunk. Like,
yeah,
so
what?
One that stands above the rest, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about Bigfoot before on this podcast, in some cases, he's just kind of a big gorilla that wanders around the woods in California. In other cases, he's an interdimensional time traveler.
Yeah.
So is it so crazy that he turns up in Knoxville? I guess not.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, he's appearing on the moons of Jupiter. All right. So yeah, it's not that weird that he ends up in Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
He bathes in the subterranean ice waters of Saturn's moon Europa. What does he care if he's one state over? Yeah. So Dr. Russell Jones, he wrote a book called The Appalachian Bigfoot and is an authority on this subject.
Mm.
He's described his own experiences at hunting Bigfoot at length. Now, one time he went looking for Bigfoot in the Appalachian Mountains and discovered huge ape-like footprints in the snow and did come away with plaster casts as evidence.
Wow.
See those?
Okay. I don't know what I was expecting here. Maybe something a little less comically like a foot.
For sure.
It looks like something from a children's arts and crafts day.
No.
No, hey, it does,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, one of them looks really believable because it's kind of rustic and cool. The other one,
It's a papier-mâché foot.
I wonder if that's just a human foot. And then is this to, like, compare? I don't
it's
know.
Worrying if you don't know.
He's also laid them out on a picnic blanket. Yeah, but it's like Yogi Bear.
Beside a dollar, I guess, for reference.
Dollar for scale. Dollar for scale. Reading about the Appalachian Bigfoot revealed something even crazier to me than evidence, footprints, or photos. Stay with me here. There's an article about the beast in the Maryville Highland Echo, and they talked to a Bigfoot enthusiast called Eddie Robinson. Now, Eddie has had his own encounter with Bigfoot in the Tennessee forests.
Now, Eddie, age 9, has had a lot of interesting experiences with the creature.
Now, the beast actually spoke to him. It said, steal a sleeve of Oreos from your mum's kitchen.
He's recreated his experience with the creature using macaroni art. Take note of his liberal use of glitter to illustrate how glistening the beast was.
All right. I need you to take this seriously.
Okay,
right.
I'm sorry.
Because now I'm starting to get offended on behalf of the Appalachians. You were getting offended at the beginning. Now I'm getting offended because you're... It's just like these people are kind of spilling their guts here.
Yeah.
Telling you their deepest heart's fears.
You've brought three cryptids to the table today, two of which we've already covered, and one was the Wampus Cat.
And one we believe in, I think, Bigfoot. I don't remember.
Okay, yeah, I think it was a double. I think we've done it like four times, and it's been a
every
no
time.
Every single time.
No, Skunk Ape.
And the Yeti, actually. The Yeti was a yes.
Skunk Ape and the Yeti, yes.
The Icefoot.
So, if anything, it's the spin-offs of Bigfoot we do believe in.
True, true, true.
He's seen Bigfoot for himself, and this is not even the point I'm trying to make, but he says that in the wild he's heard screams coming from an animal that are much lower than any other animal you would expect. He said the screams felt like bass hitting him in the chest, and they had a guttural quality. Now, Rory, remember we recently debuted This Paranormal Slice?
Yes.
Our paranormal pizzeria.
Yeah, yeah. Probably the most successful business that we've ever opened up.
If anyone missed it, idea is just in the name.
That's it.
Paranormal pizzeria.
Yes.
And we came up with lots of kind of fun...
very clever.
Twists.
Very clever twists on classic ingredients.
Yeah. Some of them less clever. Like Rory rebranding pepperoni as Dirt Man. There's no more. If you think you're missing context, you're not.
No, that's
that was
it, that's
all
the
context.
Thing. And the mince meat. Do you remember that one?
Night dirt.
Night dirt.
Yeah.
Night dirt with a side of Dirt Man.
Stop talking about dirt then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Eddie Robinson was really inspired by his sighting of Bigfoot because he's the proud owner of Legends and Lore, a Bigfoot themed pizzeria and paranormal museum in Madisonville.
Yes, what a combination. Museum / pizzeria.
So in the gaps between searching for Bigfoot, going to conventions, and running the museum, he's firing out hot slices of specials such as Mothman BBQ and Skinwalker Ranch.
No way! Oh my god, that's amazing.
You want to check out the menu?
Well, I want to go. Where is this?
This is Madisonville, Tennessee. Check out this menu.
Oh my god. This is everyone's dream.
This is better than we could have possibly come up with for this paranormal slice.
We've got Crop Circle, which is a vegetarian pizza, of course. Thunderbird Ranch, Skinwalker Ranch. One just called Alien Abduction. Loch Ness, which is vegetarian as well, apparently. Chupacabra Ranch, The Exorcist Pizza, Area 51, Jersey Devil.
It's really not just Bigfoot themed. It's an entire paranormal menu, yeah.
Yeah, the Bermuda Triangle, which disappointingly isn't just one slice. I think it's...
Oh, well, that would have been good, yeah.
And then they have one at the bottom that's just Greek mythology.
Mm. Hey, well, let's speak it. Rory open this restaurant? This is Rory's restaurant, his passion for Greek mythology.
Yeah, and then they do have at the bottom... just a little picture of Bigfoot holding a sign that says, I don't believe in you either.
Very nice. Very nice.
Hell yeah. This is very cool. I'm a big fan of this.
And then, of course, very fittingly, you have sizes ranging from small, medium, large, extra large, and then monster.
Let's go. This place is actually between Chattanooga and Pigeon Forge, which is two places I have been to before.
There you go.
Just didn't make it up there by Athens. That's amazing.
Worryingly, their best-selling pizza is not paranormal themed. It's the pickle pizza.
I've had a pickle pizza. It's really good.
Which is the pizza. I think this following description is going to split listeners. I think some Americans are going to hear this and be like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
And then I think a lot of other people who live in different countries are going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? The ingredients for the pizza are ranch sauce topped with cheese blend and special garlic-infused crunchy dill pickles, our biggest seller.
Sounds pretty good, to be fair. Not a pizza.
Not a pizza, like, for sure.
It's just a cheesy ranch pickle.
It's bread with ranch. Pretty inspirational stuff. Shout out to them, honestly. It sounds amazing. I'm getting inspired to go on a road trip. Okay, Rory, sure. Little bit of a left turn for the podcast there to introduce a regional dialect of Bigfoot, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it adds to the picture of paranormal Appalachia. But while Appalachia is, as I say, a cryptid hotspot, that doesn't mean there isn't other paranormal phenomena taking place either.
Well, no, hold on now. Hold on there a second, because you said there were dozens of paranormal creatures and cryptids that wander these sacred mountains.
Yeah.
Then you named three, two of which we already heard, and one was a cat. So I insist you name a fourth, sir, before we move on to presumably orbs or lights in the night sky.
Another well-known phenomena has been regularly documented just a couple hundred miles south.
Okay.
In Cherokee, North Carolina.
So just ignore it. North Carolina?
North Carolina. Known as the Brown Mountain Lights. Yes, some lights. And it's been known since the 1700s. And it's confounded locals and experts alike. One writer described the Brown Mountain Lights as, quote, star-like lights that appear on Brown Mountain in Burke County, North Carolina.
For sure, don't call them stars.
Some say that these lights move rather slowly, while others have reported that they make quick firework-like motions. Folks who've witnessed this phenomenon say they look like glowing orbs and are typically blue, red, orange, or white. And thankfully, I do have some video evidence of these things.
We had recorded videos for several years, 4 to 5 years, every night, seeing really nothing until we saw this. The next morning, when I built this video and watched it, I looked at this and said, whoa, what is that? This video stood out in that it had something that was obviously different. Previous videos had little glitches and lights and spots that I couldn't really make any sense of. But we had a light here that persisted over 20 minutes, came and went.
20 minutes?
Had no lateral motion, sideways, had no up-down motion. These are 30-second exposures.
Different from the street
so
lights?
If it were a meteor, you would see little streaks. And so it was not something that was stellar. A week before this video, I had talked to a reporter at the Charlotte Observer and told him, you know, I think the lights are gone. We haven't seen anything. And then, wow, bang, this thing pops up. And then I had to call him up and say, I think we need to reconsider that. And he wrote a new story that ran in the Charlotte Observer.
All right. Did he say he filmed like 5 hours a night, every night for 5 years?
Yeah, and saw, quote, nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Look, that's disappointing to me too. I will say,
I'll be real with you. I didn't watch that video before.
No, I did. It did. It is. If anyone's listening to this and they're not watching it, there's one light. There's one light that flashes.
It just pops for like a second.
And sure, could be paranormal. Nothing to say it's not.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it is. It's not clearly a plane or clearly a helicopter or something like that. It is a light that pops up out of nowhere. But I will say that the story so often goes beyond the history.com YouTube video of a guy with really questionable hair.
Yeah, the haircut is astounding. It really caught me off guard when he's revealed.
He looks like a damn dog. He looks like a damn shih tzu. He looks like a shih tzu. That's crazy. If you just venture even into the comments of that video, sometimes you get the word from the street of the people of the area themselves. And it paints quite a picture. One YouTube user, Anderson Long, 7709, writes, I'm a native North Carolinian, 65 years old, and I've seen the lights 5 times in my life. once as a child with my parents, once as a college student attending Appalachian State, and three times over the last 40 years. For two of the times I saw them, words are insufficient. They were beyond the descriptive abilities of any words, dancing, bouncing up and down sideways like happy ping pong balls, zapping left and right at a speed beyond measure, then completely stopping and disappearing just to reappear again. Just awe and wonder.
Wow, okay, I'm way more into this. We did not get that from the video.
Not at all.
Starting to think the video wasn't the lights. If this is what the lights are like, dancing about, exploding like lightning in the sky.
Yeah, someone said fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to think, sometimes we see this in the paranormal, where a guy has spent 5 years filming something and he's like, I'm not going back empty-handed. I will go into Photoshop and put that bitch in there if I need to.
People get desperate. And if you really are on year five of filming every night and still nothing, anything that lights up that sky, you're going to decide is the orb, no matter what.
100%. And it goes on. Another commenter writes, lived in the area all my life. I've seen them three times. So it sounds like these are pretty rare, to be honest.
Yeah.
Always in October. They say once was unbelievable. They appeared to be moving randomly among the trees of the skyline back and forth. I don't know what they are, but I do know these ancient mountains are full of mystery that we will likely never fathom.
Strangely poetic.
Yeah, that's what the lights seem to do to people. Honestly, the comment section is just full of awe and wonder.
And poets.
As they say. Scott Lambert comments, as big as the universe is, who really knows what's out there watching and listening?
I like to think none of these motherfuckers talked like this before they saw the lights. And all of a sudden, they're just in awe and wonder of the scale of the universe.
Another commenter writes, Hestelin lights, North Texas lights, Uruguay lights, Argentina lights, and Marfa lights, all swamp gas. Which, that's unfair. We're not, I don't think we're near a swamp even here.
Yeah, that's, well,
maybe.
That's a lot of swampy land.
We're, I've not been, I've no idea. The only thing swampy is that pickle pizza, god damn. We actually had to leave the world of cryptids, seemingly, to get a more interesting, unique, and poetic paranormal phenomena from the Appalachians.
Yeah, we were barely in the world of cryptids, to be fair.
We were. No, we were. The definition of cryptids. And look, did I say there was a dozen cryptids?
You did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is. But we don't have time to talk about them all. And have we talked about a lot of them in the past? Yes. So I'm simply going to, as we round out, mention a couple of honorable mentions for other famous Appalachian creatures.
We're going to spend the rest of the episode just talking about a few honorable orbs sighted in different mountains.
The Pigeonhole Orb. The Knoxville Orb.
The Orb of Swamp Gas Swamp. That one might be swamp gas.
But honestly, reading the list, the list that we'll ultimately have compiled from Bigfoot through to a couple more here, it's like reading a Wikipedia list of alumni from a school, right?
It's
like, you know, whenever the Wikipedia says notable alumni?
Right, yeah.
And it'll be like, oh, this school, who went here? Ronald Reagan. And you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And they're like, Barack Obama. And you're like, really?
Wow,
that's surprising. And then they're like, Jimmy Carter. All right, well, something's in the water. Something's in the water. Because how could there statistically be? What I'm trying to say is Flatwood Monster.
Oh, that's here?
Yep. Because that's another West Virginia one.
Yeah, of course, actually. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Which we're not going to go through. We don't even have time. But again, a fan favorite.
The single one we gave a double yes to.
There you go. Forgot that. Bring that in. Think about that. Think about that, everyone. That's great. More of the, hey, do you remember any others? Because I don't.
List off some names. What can you at least?
The Bell Witch.
We covered that one too.
We covered it. Loved it. Did give it a double no. I looked it up.
Yeah.
But one of the most famous kind of haunting cases, and that is dead bang middle center in this part of the world.
Okay. On the one hand, that is going to happen when the specific tiny area you are investigating is half the continent.
Yeah, it's not half.
Kind of stretching from the bottom to the top.
At most a seventh or a sixth, maybe a fifth.
A mountain range containing millions of people over hundreds of years. But it is cool. We're at least seeing a little consistency.
Yeah. Look, I don't disagree with that. I completely agree with that. I think it's the big problem with investigating this. It is interesting, though, how there's definitely corners of the country we never go.
Yeah, isn't it?
And we are rounding out here. I think that is my core argument. You know, I think I got into researching this because it might have been a suggestion. Let me check.
Like, does North Dakota have any cryptids?
I think, like weird states? Even when we looked at the map and I was like, oh, this almost hits Maine. I was like, when have we been in Maine?
Maine? Yeah.
Well, there have been a lot of people suggesting various cases that involve the Appalachians. It looks like Mark Accorsi and more recently, Melanie Evans, really quite recently, I think have been the two people who mentioned just doing a whole kind of look at the Appalachians and how specifically paranormal they are. But it is good timing because interest in the Appalachians has seemed to explode in recent years online with hashtags like Haunted Appalachia taking over TikTok and Instagram Reels.
Mm.
It's as if this area of wilderness in an increasingly modern kind of homogenized world still holds on to some of those ancient myths and legends. We saw it with Shur, the wind tosser, that the origins of that were the men who worked in the forest as lumberjacks and things.
Yeah.
They wrote handbooks of all the mythical creatures who lived there. And the Appalachians is, from what I gather, even bigger. It only seems fitting that such a wild and giant region would be home to so many paranormal legends.
Yeah, and as you said, it's a corner of that country that they, because of the terrain, just can't pave over and turn into a car park. So it still retains, it's kind of like rugged wilderness and the mystery surrounding that.
They tried to build a Walmart in Point Pleasant and Mothman chased them out.
Hell yeah.
So look, it's clear that between indigenous folk tales, old settler legends, and modern stories, there is a clear paranormal link to Appalachia. But it's for us to decide at the end of the episode whether we think it's in the Mount Rushmore of paranormal locations. We've said that places, you know, like the Bermuda Triangle, or even our case on Puerto Rico, the island itself, we've said that specific places on Earth are uniquely paranormal. Rory, do you think Appalachia meets that bill?
I want to hear the rest of the list. Read me the rest of the list.
You are getting you're getting very hung up on the list.
Yeah, well, I am, because you promised me a dozen cryptids.
I didn't promise you. I said there's loads. There's like a dozen.
If I went to a restaurant and ordered a dozen eggs, which I often do.
You didn't.
To get
my
protein.
Order it, though.
And the chef was like, hey, here you go, and a couple of eggs for you as well. You'd be like, wait, no, you told me there was a dozen. You'd be like, yeah, no, but like, they're all kind of scrambled in there together. That's most of them.
Yeah, but I
would say, where's the rest of my eggs,
I think we learned from the Wind Tosser episode that the rest of the handbook wasn't worth reading. The Wind Tosser was the most believable creature, and it was nonsense.
Yeah.
So, are there more creatures that call Appalachia its home? Yes.
Mm.
Do we want to talk about them on today's episode? Hell no.
Yeah.
This case is hanging on by a thread as it is.
I think I already, because I knew by the end of talking about the Wind Tosser, I'd already lost you. So I could kind of just throw in whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
So I think we talked about the Snallygog, the Golly Snag, the Kunk, or whatever all these weird cryptids are called. And yeah, it certainly didn't help my case. But I think it is important to talk about them because I want to know what the environment is that we're talking about today. Do the people who say that they've seen Bigfoot in these mountains also say that they saw the Gollywag?
It's a fair point. It's a fair point.
Yeah. I just would like to know that. But it's all right if you don't want to disclose the rest of the list.
It's redacted.
Okay, it's redacted.
Use your imagination.
So all we have to go on today is a bundle of cryptids we already said no to, and a cat with six legs.
Okay.
Some orbs.
The Flatwoods Monster was a double yes.
Yes,
we know
was.
That. The
it
Bell
was.
Witch was a no.
Okay. So we got one and one. One yes, one no.
Bigfoot.
Yeah. That was a no.
Yes. Even when we reinvestigated Bigfoot, we still gave it a no.
I'll count that as one no still.
We had
Mothman. Was a maybe and a no.
Was a maybe. Maybe.
I'm putting that down as a no.
God damn it. Okay, look, it's not looking great. I can't believe we gave Flatwoods Monster. I think we just love UFOs. I think that's what happened there.
No, it's a great case. It's a really crazy case with a lot of good testimonies and history to it. So I would recommend going back and listening to that one.
Yeah, not before you finish this. Not before you finish this. This is a great case too. So
we don't have to beat
around the bush. I'll take the lead here.
Okay.
I think this is
a double yes.
A great question.
It's like, you don't get to do that.
This is a great, Phil, make him say yes. Pull in an old yes from an old episode, put it in here. It's a great question. I think I like the question. I think that's why I investigated this to begin with.
Yeah.
I like that idea of, because all up to now, like I said earlier, we believed, it's like been a meme in the paranormal commune that West Virginia is like some weird hotspot. Why West Virginia? After all, when were the state lines even drawn, guys?
Yeah.
It's like only a couple hundred years ago. So is it West Virginia? What is it in the water that makes that so paranormal? Why is there so many cases that come out of there? It's a cool idea. The idea that it's like, no, it's this bigger, more ancient thing. And really, if you zoom out and draw the lines even bigger across America, we can connect the dots here. Makes sense. Big wilderness, lots of creatures to hide in it. It's a more untouched part of the country.
Yeah.
But when we actually needle into it, it feels a little bit like the Wind Tosser episode, that the trees and the woods and the wilderness aren't hiding real beasts. They were more hiding shadows, things that go bump in the night, make noises, and make the local people talk and share stories.
Yeah.
That creates a rich folklore.
Yeah. And, you know, am I saying today with my conclusion that I don't believe anything paranormal has happened in this mountain range? No.
Hell no.
Because we've even given yeses to things that have taken place in this mountain range.
Exactly.
In the past. Do I believe that this paranormal activity is taking place because the mountain range itself is paranormal? No, I don't believe that today, unfortunately.
Are the Appalachian Mountains uniquely paranormal? Is it a paranormal hotspot? No.
No.
It's a double no today.
Womp womp.
But
Wampus Cat.
If I've taken anything from this nice dude.
Thanks.
From this episode, I have an insatiable desire now to go to this part of the world. It's a part of America I've never been, never even touched, never even come near. Unlike you, you've been in it.
Apparently, yeah.
I mean, you're from it.
Every place you've listed, I'm like, I lived there for 4 years.
Rory's the most paranormal thing about this case.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there's an insane crossover. I also never put it together that we were joking about my love for ancient Greek mythology. Mm. And then when I was just looking at the map of Georgia, I was like, oh yeah.
Athens, Georgia.
Athens. My family live in Rome, Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't know what the connection is there, but that's very interesting. No idea.
Yeah, I know. I've said it before. I really want to go to Athens, Georgia. I've heard good things, and it's the home of REM, and that's the most important thing. And apparently, I think REM like own a bunch of stuff in the town. There's a bunch of themed stuff. Anyway, so
that's pretty cool.
I want to check that out. I know Georgia's going to be amazing. And guys, we are going to Georgia. We're going to Atlanta.
Hell yeah.
To perform a live podcast in August. Unbelievably exciting.
Going back to the A, we should see if there's a Braves game we could go to. Honestly, we could cancel the show. Just do the Braves game.
100%. There's so much to do. We got to go drink a bunch of sodas that don't exist here.
Oh yeah.
I got to go to a Young Thug concert. Is he in prison anymore? I have no idea. We got a lot of stuff to go do.
I can't wait. I'm very excited. It is only one of many stops coming up in our American tour. And we keep saying, on our Canadian tour, we're going to Toronto.
We're going to one city.
Yeah. Sorry, Vancouver. Feel bad for you guys. We tried to make it work. But here's another crazy thing we found out. Touring's expensive.
Yeah. Very hard. Lots of logistics.
Adding a new city costs thousands of dollars, essentially, in terms of travel, accommodation, merch costs, food. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Here's a fun little fact that's too real for everyone. Just legally getting me and Phil in the country is about half the revenue of the entire project. Anyway, so let's just... That's immigration, though. We're not going to talk about that.
That's the spookiest thing I've heard on this podcast all day.
Because I might not get a visa if I talk about it.
Don't say that.
So
no, let's just, you're definitely going to get that visa. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
And sorry, guys, in the Pacific Northwest. I know I've seen comments, people disappointed. Obviously, we're not coming to Florida. Not coming to Pacific Northwest, not coming to other areas in the South or Midwest or Northwest. Pacific Northwest, I think those guys have learned we're just scared of Bigfoot.
Yep.
That's what's happened. I wish I could say it was business reasons.
Yeah.
We have avoided the location. We said he wasn't real and he's pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. So we might never make it up there, to be honest with you. Your best bet is coming down. Yeah, we always want to try and do as many shows as possible, but you kind of forget, even with the amount of shows we're doing right now, you look at it on a calendar and you're like, I'm not going to see my family for a very long time.
Yeah.
Or be home. It's like weeks and weeks of travel and stuff. So we're always trying to do as much as we can. But
and also making the podcast, because we want to keep the weekly episodes up, right?
Yes.
Which is hard to do when all of us are on the road. So
yeah, your workload is just tripled for 3 weeks. And also you can't sleep in your own bed and you have to go somewhere new every day.
Oh, wah, cry it up. All right. Jesus Christ. Listen, get out there. Mick Jagger's been doing it for 60 years. Rory can do it for 2 weeks.
Go. I think he stays in five-star hotels.
Let's just get a flight tomorrow to Portland. Let's just get a flight tomorrow. I don't have a visa yet.
I have a flight today.
We'll reroute it. Reroute it to the Pacific Northwest and let's perform in a Walmart car park.
I don't think it's...
Do they have Walmart there? I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do, yeah. My flight is to London City Airport. So I don't know if we can reroute it to...
I'll just lie and tell my wife I'm at the hospital. I'll say I got hit by a car. I'll just be like, I'm in a neck brace, just... I'm fine though. Don't come see me. Just like, I'm going to be like a week.
It's bad.
I'm going to be a week.
I have to be flown to a specialist doctor in Seattle to deal with it. he has the antidote. It's like, what happened to you? Doesn't matter.
What kind of world's greatest doctor lives in Portland? Is he also a barista? God damn.
We can't wait. We're so excited about tour. It's going to be a f-ing blast. So yeah, please.
So we're bearing the lead. Tour tickets.
Tickets. Get your tickets. It's going to be a great couple of nights all across the States and Toronto. And we get to drink and have fun and talk about spooky shit.
ThisParanormalLife.com to get your tickets. Should be right there on the homepage or hit the tour tab at the top of the page. Link in bio if you're on our social media or go to Patreon. We put links there too. Everywhere you can get tickets. Bring a friend, bring a family member. If you've been to a show before, you'll know, it's niche. We sometimes joke that it's like, there's in jokes. It's really not. It's pretty accessible. People bring their friends and family all the time and they have a blast. So please bring a friend, bring a family member. We can't wait to see you there. Of course, Patreon is the place where you can get those after party episodes, bonus episodes. They found out first about the tour. That's how in the inner circle they are. You can join the Patreon for as little as $5, give or take your local currency. Remember, it's cheaper on the Patreon website than in the app for reasons. And that's the place you can support the show and make it possible for us to do things like tour and keep making this podcast.
Yeah, the patrons, they got early access to tickets, which is important because there is kind of a tier system where some of the seats that are sold, there is a chance that you will be sacrificed during the performance.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
It's kind of like Splash Mountain, like the splash zone.
Exactly.
It's kind of the sacrifice zone.
Where it's like, it might even be a couple of you, depending on who we're trying to summon that night.
Rory will just halfway through the show, he just winds up like a Bloodborne boss and just just gets a whip and just takes out half the front row. It's crazy.
Yeah. So get your tickets quick if you don't want to be in the sacrifice zone.
That just about wraps it up for this week. Hope you enjoy this investigation of the Appalachians, if you live in Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
Come back
next week and we might cover the rest of those 12 cryptids.
Shut
Maybe.
Up. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'm going to fly to Seattle myself. All right, let's go. We're coming back on Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale.
No episode I'll of this podcast should end with you saying you're going to f***ing kill me. Can you tell I've been here in Kit's house for 4 days? He's done with me.
He's needling me.
He's done with me.
Stop needling me. Do you see any other cryptids on that list? No. There's nothing. I just said a word. I said a dozen. I picked a number. Sue me.
Kit turned around his laptop and there's just a blank Google Doc. I don't even think he had a script.
It was all off the dome.
He's just been riffing.
Like Lil Wayne. We're back on Tuesday with a brand new paranormal. Who's Lil Wayne? We're back on Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale.
Is he one of the 12? Lil Wayne is found.
Oh, shit.
By Knoxville, Tennessee. Oh.
Damn it. Oh, a little too netchy. All right, we're back on Friday with the after party on Patreon and Tuesday for the brand new paranormal tale. Remember to live fast, investigate,
and die young, baby!